Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Tuesday, May 21st. The Vail Daily News reports that Governor John Hickenlooper signed four bills aimed at preserving and improving Colorado's outdoors on Saturday. Hickenlooper said the bills will help preserve and enhance hunting, fishing, and the habitat that makes them possible. One of the bills, Senate Bill 222, creates a license plate that says Protect Our Rivers, available to Colorado motorists for purchase. Ken Newbecker is with Colorado Trout Unlimited and is director of the Western Rivers Institute. This is for habitat preservation and restoration. It cannot and will not be used for any political or lobbying purpose, said Newbecker. This all goes back to the rivers. A similar bill was defeated in last year's session of the state legislature. State Senator Gail Schwartz had high praise for the bills, saying they improve hunting and fishing access. She also lauded her House colleague, Millie Hamner, a Summit County Democrat. Among other bills, Hamner sponsored Senate Bill 175, which continues the Wildlife Stamp Program, a voluntary program that raises money for wildlife habitat preservation and improvement and provides public access. Those purchasing the stamp raised $6.6 million, which can be leveraged with money from Great Outdoors Colorado. Hickenlooper said the money has preserved and improved 173,000 acres of wildlife habitat, provided 80,000 acres of new public access, and created 25 miles of public fishing access to Colorado's rivers and streams. After previously passing a six-month moratorium on applications for retail sales of marijuana in Montrose, the City Council tonight will consider a permanent measure prohibiting the retail sale of pot in the city. The council will meet at 7 p.m. in its chambers in the Elks Civic Building at 107 South Cascade Avenue in Montrose. The Watch reports that Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper will visit the Ouray School on Thursday, May 23rd to sign the newly enacted School Resource Bill. The bipartisan bill defines school resource officer and community partners and expressly includes school resource officers as community partners for the purposes of school safety, readiness, and incident management. It also provides for a means of guidance to school districts and schools seeking school safety funding. Bill sponsors include Senator Steve King and Representatives Leroy Garcia and Mike McLaughlin. King and McLaughlin will both be traveling with the governor to Ouray to make statements before the bill is signed into law. Ouray School Superintendent Scott Pankow said he found out about the governor's impending visit earlier this week. The Ouray School currently does not have a school resource officer, and Pankow said he was not entirely sure why the governor had chosen the Ouray School as the site for the bill signing ceremony, although he speculated it may be because the school has been recognized for excellence on many levels in recent years. Just last month, the school was recognized as being one of only two schools on the Western Slope that are in the top 30 statewide, based on standardized test scores and AP test results. Coincidentally, Governor Hickenlooper and his entourage will be visiting the Ouray School on the same afternoon as preschool graduation. Pankow is hoping to coordinate the timing of the visit so that the governor can attend the graduation ceremony. The Denver Post reports that Grand Junction resident Robert Ryder Dewey's life is about to change if Governor Hickenlooper signs the Compensation for Persons Wrongly Convicted bill into law this week. The law was crafted because of Dewey's wrongful conviction. Dewey, a Harley fan, plans to go to motorcycle mechanic school when he is compensated by the state for the 16 years he spent in prison for a murder he didn't commit. New DNA testing resulted in his exoneration and the filing of charges against another man. Representative Angela Williams, Democrat of Denver, championed the measure that will remove Colorado from the list of 23 states with no compensation. Williams brought Dewey in to testify before the legislature about his needs as a 52-year-old man suddenly turned back into the world with no job skills and no financial resources. It has been nearly 13 months since Dewey was exonerated of murdering 19-year-old J.C. Taylor of Palisade in 1994. He has survived on Social Security payments of about $600 a month and $87 in food assistance. He hasn't been able to find a job. He left prison with no job skills because his life sentence made him ineligible for training programs. He also came out with a damaged back after having rods inserted in his spine for an injury suffered while he was in prison. Dewey plans to ride up to the state capitol on Wednesday on a borrowed Harley when the compensation legislation is expected to be signed. An attorney for Dewey will have to file a request for the compensation. That filing will have to show that Dewey is actually innocent through reliable evidence. He is the only person in Colorado who will qualify for this assistance, said attorney Danielle Joffe, who spent more than a dozen years working to prove Dewey's innocence and to see a compensation package passed in Colorado. Dewey is set to receive $1.2 million from the state. It will be paid in yearly increments of $100,000, minus federal taxes. He will also be eligible for 4 years of higher education on the state's tab. Dewey will have to obtain health insurance and complete a financial management course. He also must stay out of serious trouble. The new law specifies that conviction of a Class 1 or 2 felony will stop the compensation. Dewey said he hopes to go to a Harley mechanics school, possibly in New Mexico. At the Delta County Commissioner's regular meeting this week, the Cocker Kids Foundation received kudos from Delta County Health and Human Services Director Chuck Lemoyne. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
Lemoyne first talked about how, in a meeting years ago with Joe and Pam Cocker, the county came to be an agent for the foundation.
They said, tell us about some of the area's needs and who are they were interested in other agencies and organizations who could benefit from Cocker Kids Foundation money. I did not have this intent, but after we talked about what we deal with in our department, they said, well, sounds like you could use it. And so they asked if we would be willing to serve as an agent for the Cocker Kids Foundation.
The Cockers had some stipulations. The funds were to be used for kids 0 to 18. The county should attempt to use local vendors. And the funds should be used in the North Fork particularly, which the Cockers viewed as underserved. Otherwise, there were no restrictions, Lemoyne said.
I asked, what can the money be used for? And they said, enriching children's lives. And we have bought wheelchairs, we have bought orthodontics, we have bought trips, we have bought musical instruments and lessons, rec center passes, we have bought yearbooks, high school yearbooks, class rings, formals, things that aren't normally covered through child welfare expense accounts, just over and above and beyond the realization. But these are things that are normal to a child growing up in most instances. And the Cocker Kids Foundation said, if you're aware of somebody who could benefit from this, we'd love to be able to help. And we're very, very grateful to them for that. Terrific foundation.
The commissioners responded by amending the Cocker Kids policy to allow for a different way of accepting the funds. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
And that concludes your daily newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, I'm Eric Gould. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much for